This week in Palestine, Israeli occupation forces continue to violate terms of a truce declared in Sharm el-Sheikh 3 months ago, committing at least 8,500 registered violations. Israeli occupation forces assassinated Shafiq Abdulrani in Seda village, north of Tulkarm in the West Bank earlier this week. He was a member of Islamic Jihad. Also this week, an Israeli court sentenced two Israeli soldiers to 1 and 4 months respectively for killing a 3-year-old Palestinian child in Jenin in 2004. The Israeli government continues to lay plans for confiscating more Palestinian lands for wall construction, including farmland in Jenin's El Bekia Valley. Here to talk about the effects of occupation on olive farmers and ways to combat it is the project coordinator of the Palestine Fair Trade Association. Thanks for coming all the way from Jenin to speak with us. Why don't you begin by giving us some background on the olive oil project?
Okay, well, the Palestine Fair Trade Association, we call it PFTA, is a national Palestinian union of farming and producing cooperatives. And we work, our office is based in Jenin, but we work with cooperatives in Nablus, Jenin, and Ramallah. And we work to help farmers form cooperatives, work collectively through democratic participation, and we help them find markets abroad, fair trade markets specifically, to sell their, mainly olive oil has been our main product that we've dealt with, to sell their products abroad.
Do you find that Palestinian farmers already have experience in working this way, as there has been a tradition of working cooperatively in the Palestinian agricultural sector in a way that would be considered in keeping with fair trade principles in the U.S. and Canada?
Fair trade is actually a fairly new idea here in Palestine. We did a series of workshops and educational informational pamphlets and things like this with the farmers to help them educate them about what is fair trade, how it fits into the international global market, and what it means here in Palestine. And working in cooperatives, some farmers have experience in this and some don't. So in the cases that they don't, we explain what working in cooperatives is about, why we work in cooperatives, and why it's important for us. And when we moved into some of the crafts, a lot of the women have already been working in cooperatives for a long time, especially around embroidery and couscous and other things like that. So if cooperatives are already in place, we work with them. And if they're not, we help to form cooperatives on a village-to-village and product-to-product basis.
As far as the olive oil is concerned, can you talk about the effects of occupation on production, hindrances that are obvious to us, like land confiscation and wall construction, and why that makes fair trade cooperative farming even more important?
Sure. Well, our main focus, our first year up and running, was the olive oil. And that's because olive oil, olive farming and olive oil production represents 80% of the farmed land in Palestine. And olives and olive oil is also an ancient tradition to the Palestinian population here. And it's something that gets passed down from generation to generation. And it represents a real cultural pride and also a rootedness in the landscape here.
There are so many restrictions on Palestinians trying to export their products. Can you talk about how PFTA is trying to combat that, to ease some of the burden?
Well, there's a lot of security checks, and even the local economy, even farmers and their products reaching their own local economies, for example, from the north to the south, can be complicated by closures and curfews and security checks and permissions and these kinds of things that people need to get their products from one place to another. So you can imagine to get it out of the West Bank and then again out of 48 is very complicated. There's, first of all, you have to get permission to get your products from the town that you live in outside of the West Bank. And then once they reach the port in Haifa, you have to get another permission and extra security checks for those products to reach the outside market. So there's a series of steps that Palestinian farmers have to take that people inside 48 are not subjected to. And it complicates the process, but not only in time, but also in money, with extra fees and things like this. So this also adds a price to the olive oil along the way, which is the reason that fair trade is actually very important to the Palestinian farmers here. And fair trade can then become a vehicle with which their products can be successful in the outside market.
Well, speaking about fees, being competitive, and money in general, one of the principles of fair trade is to ensure that farmers get a fair price for their work. In this way, perhaps your project is able to bring back some of the economic sustainability that the occupation strives so hard to remove.
Yeah, of course. And that's, you know, the essence of fair trade is ensuring that farmers and crafters and producers and the people who are actually doing the work are the ones receiving the profit, or at least a large share of the profit in the process. And so typically fair trade brings back around 1/3 to 1/4 of a profit to their producers. And so this not only encourages farmers to continue to farm their lands, but also creates a way in which they can have sustainable income generation. And, you know, as the occupation has done over the years, it has crippled the Palestinian economy and made it dependent on the Israeli economy. And there's a lot of Israeli products that get flooded into the Palestinian markets. And like I mentioned before, because they can't get their own products from the north to the south, from Jenin to Nablus, from Hebron to Bethlehem, for example, the markets are flooded with Israeli products, and therefore the agricultural economy has really suffered, both locally and in an international export market as well.
Trying to get into the export market has other difficulties for Palestinians as well. I understand that you can't say made in Palestine for export into the U.S., for instance.
Yeah, there are some logistical things that we've run into, specifically in the U.S. markets. Each product that comes in has to have a made in and then a country of origin. And in Canada and the U.K., we're able to put Palestine, but in the U.S., Palestine is not an option as a country of origin, so we therefore have to choose West Bank and Gaza, or the Palestinian occupied territories. And so we have chosen the West Bank. There is, however, Palestinian olive oil in the U.S. that is under that is labeled made in Palestine, but that is because those people bottle the olive oil in the United States instead of bottling in Palestine. And one of the things that's the core of this project is creating jobs locally. So we've created a company that's owned by a cooperative of farmers called Canaan Fair Trade. And this is separate from the Palestine Fair Trade Association. The company kind of represents the business aspect of the project. And it's a worker-shared company. Therefore, if you work in the company for a year, each year you gain shares. And each year, as you continue to work with the company, you gain more and more shares, therefore taking dividends from the profit each year. And of course, as per fair trade practice, Canaan Fair Trade, the company, will give back 30% of its profits each year to its producing communities, which will therefore be given to each cooperative, you know, separately. And each cooperative will therefore get to decide how they spend that that profit. It may be, you know, buying boxes for the olives, it may be buying a tractor, it may be buying a new part for a press in their village, it may be saving up for a press, it could be buying storage containers for the olive oil, it could be a vast number of things depending on what each community needs and where they're at in their development stage.
In keeping with the benefit to the farmers and the local community, what are some of the reactions that the project has gotten? Is it viewed as necessary and useful, as something positive in the midst of land confiscation and wall construction?
Right. Well, when we did our set of workshops, we did them in October of 2004, and they were the farmers really welcomed us openly. It was a good idea. They thought that it was a wonderful idea for them to be able to still farm their trees. A lot of farmers have, in fact, stopped farming their trees because it doesn't bring them any profit, so it's not worth their time to go to their trees. In fact, one time we were going out in a service, which is a sort of shared taxi, to visit some farmers in a village called Arura, which is outside of Ramallah. And we were kept wanting to stop and take pictures for brochures and the website and such. And the taxi driver asked us what we were doing, and we told him about the project. And he said, "Oh, that's great. If you guys would come to my village, like, I would go back to my trees." And he apparently has land, has trees, but hasn't farmed them for years because it doesn't bring him enough profit. There's something around 30,000 tons of Palestinian olive oil produced every year, and the Palestinians themselves consume 15,000, which is actually quite a lot of olive oil, but it's a main staple in the diet here. And so that leaves about 15,000 tons extra year surplus. So farmers have actually stopped farming their lands in some cases, whether it's because of the wall, whether it's because of closures, whether it's because they don't doesn't bring them back any profit, so it's not worth their time. So it's been something that Palestinians are very happy to have. It's a project that they think can bring a lot back to them, and they're excited about it. One farmer at one of the workshops said that he would do anything to protect the olive tree. And so it was really welcomed by the farmers, and I think hopefully it can grow to be a great project for them. I don't know exactly how much, as for one reason the wall is still under construction, but I know that, for example, in Salfit, we have the Salfit district. We work with many olive oil cooperatives there, and one of our villages called Dir Berlut is near the settlement of Ariel. And there's several farmers there. They have lands that are next to the settlement, but their village lies on the other side of the wall, on the quote-unquote Palestinian side of the wall. And so those farmers have, nobody from that village has actually been able to get permission from the Israelis to reach their lands. And if they had gotten a permission, there's only one gate where they can get to reach their lands, and it's completely out of the way. So for farmers to go there, they would have to travel quite a long distance in the wrong direction to reach the gate to get to their lands on the other side. So and that is a specific instance of cooperative that we work with where quite a lot of land has been lost for that village. I'm not sure on the exact size. But I know that they say somewhere around 300 olive trees are demolished every year, whether it's from home demolitions, land confiscation, the building of the wall. That's just an average since the beginning of this intifada. And Palestinians have a long history of agriculture and farming in this area. The land is very fertile. And actually, prior to 1948 and the creation of the Jewish state, Palestine was the number one exporter of citrus crops from the Middle East to Europe. Sadly, today the citrus industry has suffered as such crops require consistent water supply. And due to the Israeli occupation and control of water resources, it has no longer become a profitable or reliable industry.
Thank you, Project Coordinator for the Palestine Fair Trade Association.
Thanks for having us.
If you want to find out where you can buy Palestinian fair trade olive oil, see www.kananfairtrade.com. Reporting from Occupied Palestine, I'm Kristen S.